A U.S. Army Reserve landing craft could be moved off an island near the city of Kodiak by noon today. The Monterey went aground on Puffin Island after striking a rock and taking on water. Major Anne-Marie Daneker says engineers and crew prepped for the move yesterday, and extra personnel and equipment will be brought in for today's operation.
Some of the concern is that when they start moving the vessel, they have to float it first, that there could be pockets of fuel or oil down there that could burp up as the vessel starts moving. So they're going to be personnel handy, and they'll look for any of these unseen pockets of fuel around the vessel. And if necessary, we'll utilize all the available assets to ensure that any leaking fuel is contained.
The crash punctured two of the Monterey's starboard fuel tanks, draining more than 8,000 gallons. Enough diesel fuel leaked before containment booms were put around the ship that it could be seen and smelled along the Kodiak waterfront, but there have been no reports of the fuel harming habitat or wildlife. Daneker says the Monterey will make the trip to the Kodiak Coast Guard base in Women's Bay under its own power. Sea Alaska land selection legislation is poised to pass the U.S. House, but the bill most likely to get through Congress appears to be in the Senate. The House version, introduced by Alaska Congressman Don Young, is among 14 measures merged into a larger bill this week. What's called the Conservation and Economic Growth Act is scheduled for a floor action next week. Sea Alaska Executive Vice President Rick Harris says the Southeast Regional Native Corporation appreciates the support.
It is a bipartisan bill, and the leadership of the House has said they want to move it, and so, of course, we're not going to stand in the way of that.
Young's version has undergone some changes, but Senator Lisa Murkowski's legislation has had more revisions. Harris says Murkowski's version is more likely to succeed in both chambers of Congress as well as be acceptable to the president.
And at this point in time, it's going to take the support of all three to move that bill. So we believe that probably the Senate bill will still be the operative bill for engaging and addressing the Sea Alaska land issues.
Both versions would allow the corporation to select federal land outside of boundaries set in the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. Corporate officials say that will keep its logging operations going, protect traditional sites, and also allow for new businesses. Opponents say it's a giveaway of some of the region's most valuable lands that would hurt fisheries and subsistence. The Alaska Wilderness League is one of the bill's critics. Executive Director Cindy Shogun says the House version would do more damage than the Senate's.
Both the senators from Alaska have been meeting a fair amount with their constituents and talking about their concerns, and their bills on the Senate side have modified to reflect some of those conversations.
Her group also opposes the omnibus measure before the House. That would also facilitate construction of a Utah hydro project, step up efforts to stop sea lions from eating Columbia River salmon, and ease restrictions on livestock grazing permits.
There's also some other pretty awful bills, and they put them all in one giant package. And I think they just want to be able to go back July 4th and say to their constituents, look at all these bills we passed. The Senate's not doing anything.
Young and his spokesman could not be reached for immediate comment. Murkowski spokesman Robert Dillon says the senator is still negotiating with the Forest Service, the Democratic Senate majority, and Sea Alaska. He says all of the acreage on northern Prince of Wales has been dropped from the measure. Other changes reduce selections from QU Island, for example. Dillon says Murkowski is optimistic an agreement can be reached this summer, allowing the bill to pass out of committee. Celebration 2012 reportedly brought $2 million into the Juneau economy. An economic impact study conducted by Juneau research firm McDowell Group indicates that $1.1 million is new money brought into Juneau by visitors. The Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's biennial cultural festival is the largest event in Southeast Alaska, and the institute says 5,500 people purchased tickets this year. McDowell Group project manager Bob Gneitzer says the firm conducted 873 surveys during last week's event.
The primary purpose was to find out how long they were here and how much money they spent.
Spending does not include transportation costs to and from Juneau for celebration. The Institute hired McDowell Group to conduct the economic study, and it indicates the economic contribution to the capital city will rise after Sea Alaska Heritage builds the Sobolov Cultural Center downtown. Funds are still being raised for the facility, but construction could start as soon as February of next year. The economic impact study was released yesterday as the Juneau Assembly is considering a Sea Alaska Heritage Institute request for $3 million in sales tax revenue to be used for construction of the nonprofit center. The Legislative Ethics Committee yesterday partially resolved a question from candidates and voters concerned about their representation after redistricting. The panel decided yesterday that incumbent lawmakers will have free rein to use their office, staff, and state resources to provide services to their new constituents after the November general election. However, a newcomer to the legislature will have to wait for any privileges until taking the oath of office in January. House Rules Committee Chairman Craig Johnson, a Republican from Anchorage, said access to state resources does not transfer until the new session starts.
And if we're going to leave an area where someone hasn't been sworn in, someone hasn't taken the ethics training for 2 months, where they have state funds, that they have basically no rules, regulations, I think that we are leaving a gap there that is a little unconscionable. I think that when you're sworn in, it's part of the deal.
However, the committee did see the value of a legislator having the ability to work with new constituents. Senator Donnie Olson, a Democrat from Gullivan, reminded members that he is up for re-election in a district that consists of half of the state.
Whether I've been sworn in or not doesn't make a difference. I'm still the representative and the senator for that district that has been defined, which is not defined by me. It's defined by the redistricting council. And so I feel like that state funds should be able to be expended on behalf of those constituents that are out there, whether I've been sworn in or not.
The committee determined that legislative leaders can decide to whom money should be appropriated, arguing that it is not an ethics issue. And a new magistrate will begin hearing cases in Sitka next month. Bethel Superior Court Judge Leonard Devaney starts work in Sitka July 2nd. Under Alaska law, a magistrate can handle anything from traffic tickets to the early proceedings in criminal cases. Devaney comes into the job after the death last January of Magistrate Bruce Horton. In the time since Horton's passing, the Sitka Court has been served by substitute magistrates from around Southeast. Neil Neesham is the area court administrator for Southeast, and he says Devaney will carry on the legacy that Horton left of doing the job right and teaching others to do the same. Sitka's courthouse is served by a full-time judge, but Neesham says it will be good to have a full-time magistrate again as well.
Oh, it's a huge financial relief. We spent, obviously, a fair amount of time and money bringing outside help in. And from the staff standpoint, the stability and continuity with one permanent position there is going to make a huge difference.
Devaney earned his law degree from the University of Montana in 1990. His bachelor's degree is from the University of North Carolina at Wilmington. He was appointed to the Superior Court in 2002 by Governor Tony Knowles. By moving into a magistrate's job, he gives up some jurisdiction. Once again, this is Neil Neesham.
It's actually pretty unusual. And I think that he saw this as an opportunity, one, to get a different experience throughout the state, and two, to move to an absolutely beautiful location. And he certainly picked a winner when he picked Sitka.
In a statement released yesterday, Devaney says that after 20 years on the treeless tundra, he's looking forward to taking walks in the forest.